Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Welcome back and thanks for listening to the show as always. Our double play today at 11:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And at 12:45, we are giving away Nationals tickets. By the way, at that time, at 12:45, when we give away those Nats tickets, there's a crazy story I saw yesterday. I sent this to you last night, Danny. A high school football coach, an assistant, was caught emailing out all the game plans and plays and scripts of the first 15 plays the team was going to run to opponents. And apparently he was doing it for 3 years. And nobody knows why. It's one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
Just sabotage or trying to prove some kind of point?
I don't know.
Who knows?
He's been an assistant on the staff for years, and for 3 years he's been emailing other coaches all of the plans to help them prepare for games against his team, and the guy that actually caught him was an opposing coach who he got the email, and all the other coaches, I guess, either didn't see them or saw them and were like, oh, great, this is awesome. This guy, Vernon Fox, who I believe is the same Vernon Fox who played for the Redskins years ago.
Oh, how about it?
Said, why did he do this? I don't understand. And he called the head coach and told him, and after years of speculating, other teams know our plays. I don't know why we can't ever fool anyone.
We just get off to bad starts. You know what would continue is that guy's employment for me.
Well, he's gone.
He's lost his job.
His house is for sale.
Yeah, he would be out.
It's a crazy story. We'll get into that a little bit later on.
Right now, not do that.
Chris Russell is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, joining us on Grant and Danny. Chris, are we going to see Jordan Reed against the Bears on Monday Night Football?
Hello, boys. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I refuse to be really optimistic. I guess I'm cautiously optimistic, but yeah, he went through a whole week of practice, albeit limited for Philadelphia. Then he doesn't make the trip. And then he goes through a much harder practice Wednesday of last week in preparation for the Cowboys. And by Thursday, you're getting all sorts of reports that Jordan Reed didn't look right and he just was off. And then he's out Friday from practice and obviously didn't play in the game. So, I mean, when you have this many concussions, as we've all talked about, there's extra concerns, I think. Maybe the Redskins are being a little extra cautious here, realizing that 13 or 12 games, hopefully, of Jordan Reed is better than losing him, by rushing him back in for week one or week two. I hope so, because they need it, because that's the one weakness that I can identify for the Chicago Bears. They're not messing with that front seven, I can tell you that. If you're moving the football, it's through the air and it's against that secondary.
Russell, we hear these reports periodically, whether it's Adam Schefter saying, I'm hearing there's a chance that Trent Williams comes back into the building sometime soon. Hasn't happened, right? Why does that keep coming up? Where does that pulse come from? Is it from the Redskins? What's the deal there, and why aren't they jumping at the chance to trade him to one of these tackle-needy teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's come some from the Redskins, but I also think some indications, because D'Angelo Hall has said, and we know D'Angelo Hall is about the only one that can get a hold of Trent Williams directly and get anything from him. He's indicated that several times. So I believe it's coming from both sides, yet it hasn't happened yet. I know everybody got all up in a lather when he was hopping aboard a private jet. He didn't look like he was coming to Ashburn, I can tell you that much, and obviously he hasn't. I don't know why it keeps happening other than people keep looking at, and Schefter had this graphic last Sunday morning, he's lost between fines, portions of his guaranteed bonus, and his two game checks so far. He's lost almost $3 million. But, as we've all talked about all along, and Grant and I have covered Trent since the day he walked in the building in 2010, he's smart, one, good with his money, two, and I don't think he's that unprincipled that he's just going to waltz in with his tail between his legs and say, thank you, sir, may I have another to Bruce Allen. I don't see that right now. I think he's holding out hope that by the trade deadline, which is what, in another couple of weeks, that he gets a deal, and then maybe he comes back at that point because he's got no choice.
Donald Penn, what do we think? Played pretty well so far?
Yeah, I think he's been pretty good. I think he had, they haven't been able to run the ball successfully, as we all know, but they had a couple of runs to the off-tackle side of Donald Penn. If there was any success, it was to that spot. We know he's been pretty good in pass protection. Now, the question is how many times does Khalil Mack line up against him versus Morgan Moses or against a guard, you know? If you look at how Chicago uses it, and it's hard because Pagano just got there and, Vic Fangio left for Denver, but they move him, of course, all over the place. Primarily, he's going to line up, I would think, on the opposite side of Morgan Moses, but you know he's going to occasionally move over and maybe switch Leonard Floyd or whatever sides and go up against Donald Penn or Eric Flowers. The interesting thing for me is Penn knows him really well from their time in Oakland, so maybe that gives him a little bit of an advantage, and maybe between Moses' struggles and his balky knee a little bit, they keep Chicago, meaning over on that side, and he has to deal with the lesser of two evils in Leonard Floyd most of the night.
Chris Russell's with us here on Grant and Danny. Russell, here in town, I'm doing this bit where I've talked myself into the fact that I think they're going to beat the Bears, right? I go, this offense, I think we'll be able to do just enough against a really good defense. I think this is the week where the Redskins defense can get right against terrible Mitch Trubisky and an anemic offense. In Chicago, they're doing the same thing that we're doing right now, talking about the worst defense they face this year and an offense that they can dominate. Who's right?
I think ultimately Chicago's going to be right because I don't see the Redskins being able to move the football consistently enough. Again, maybe you can expose a ha-ha Clinton Dix, who we know can be exposed, in a bad coverage or bad situation with speed on a post route to Terry McLaurin. Maybe you can get enough time to make that work and actually have it connect. We know one connected and a couple haven't. But I don't see the Redskins being able to run. I don't even see the Redskins being able to, like, screen and short pass themselves against this front seven. And then you mentioned Trubisky, right? We all know Trubisky has been inconsistent at best, but all it takes is him using his legs and extending a play, which Prescott and Carson Wentz did very well against the Redskins. All it takes is one breakdown in coverage, you know, where you ask your defensive backs who are injured and not good to begin with to hold up in coverage for 4 seconds, and Allen Robinson can pop loose, or Taylor Gabriel, who's got speed, or even, I guess, Cordarrelle Patterson. To me, that's what I see envisioning. I see Trubisky struggling, but I see him making one, maybe two big plays in this game that's enough for the Bears to get back on track and win a football game. I don't know if that solves the questions. I don't think it does in Chicago, but I think it'll be good enough to beat the Redskins.
If they're 0-3, they're cooked in terms of the playoffs for the most part, which, you know, a lot of people thought was the case coming into the season anyway. But be quick on this, but I am curious. If Keenum plays well again or pretty well and they lose, I mean, is there a way for him to keep his job if they keep losing and he keeps playing admirably?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't see, especially on a short week going to the Giants, number one, as long as he plays reasonably well and he's not hurt, which is more my concern. And I also think if this goes on another week or two, and if Colt McCoy can never get out of the trainer's room, he would be the guy that Jay would go to first before Dwayne Haskins. But that's just me.
Chris, by the way, we'd be remiss if we let you go without we've got something for you really quickly. Hold on one second. Slashy, how many years old today, buddy?
Thank you, boys. I'm 460.
460. That's 46. An old man.
Yeah. Good for you. I am an old bastard, that's for sure.
So what are you really? 46? 44?
Yeah, 46. 46.
Many years ago, 1973, on his heart, here comes Christopher Russo. Here he is. He's born over here. This guy.
We're proud of you,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, fellas.
Beautiful thing.
Thank
two,
you,
three times.
Happy birthday,
pal. I appreciate
pal. It. Are you doing
I'll
anything
see
good
in a little
for the
while.
Birthday?
I'm coming to see you guys.
Hey, why don't
that's
come
good,
down?
Right?
Why don't you just come down and hang out with us? Why don't you just come down?
All right.
Appreciate you. There's Chris Russell, boys and girls.
Love you, buddy. Happy birthday.
The birthday boy. You know him as, well, it depends on the show you listen to. The Rooster, Slashy. You don't know him probably as his real name, Chris Russo, because he can't use that.
He can't use it.
Because the Mad Dog kind of has that cornered.
He got that monopolized. Just like there's another Danny Ru- Oh, no, there's not. Nobody else has that dumb name.
There's no one named
so
Danny Ruiz?
No.
Have you ever actually, like, in any walk of life online or something, seen another person with your name?
I've seen Ruiz. The only other Daniel Ruiz is my dad. That's the list.
Wow.
That's the list.
There was a goalie when I was a kid at some college in, like, North Dakota that was named Grant Paulson.
Because the usual, there's, like, the... There's two different Paulsons. There's the E-N,
there's the O-N. The incorrect O-N, and then the very correct E-N.
I feel like I've seen a Grant Paulson. Like, I've seen that guy. I don't think I've seen any other sense.
They're out there, probably.
Yeah. Well, there's the guy that stole your Twitter handle, for God's sakes.
That's true.
Right?
That guy was really upset.
He loves Glenn Beck a lot.
About a lot of things. And then he just never tweeted again.
And
he
that
tweeted,
was it.
I think he tweeted once in the last, like, 17 years.
Let's go to it right now. See if there's any update. I guarantee there's not.
Let's just see. I feel bad because there's a chance he may have, like, died shortly after tweeting that.
Oh, dear.
And then we just talk about him a lot and talk about how he stole that Twitter handle. But his followers are mostly people with, like, Redskins helmets.
So Ian Rappaport once screwed this up. I'm seeing this, by the way. This is funny. The Redskins are set to franchise tag quarterback Kirk Cousins, source confirmed, as Grant Paulson said. Not Grant H. Paulson.
That's funny.
This regular Grant Paulson who hasn't tweeted since 2000.
What's his tweet?
Looking forward to watching Jay on Glenn Beck, March 6, 2009.
Was it Jay Gruden?
I don't know if Jay Gruden was on his radar.
Was he on Glenn Beck?
I don't know.
2009? Maybe he was about to be a coordinator for the Bengals.
So his entire catalog is Jay on Glenn Beck.
Is the one tweet.
It's tweets and replies. That's everything. Never
liked
anything.
I'm Grant. Next, Morgan Moses is on with the Junkies Monday. And on with the Junkies on Monday, Morgan Moses said, sure would be nice for the players if there were more Redskins fans at FedEx Field. Can't really blame fans for what's going on, though. Get into that next on GND.
There's no offseason at the St. James. The DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everyone there. They got expert instructors coaching their teams and leading training for more than 20 sports. For example, a former U.S. men's national team member is teaching soccer. Coaching soccer there. Just, hey, what'd you do? What's your resume? Oh, I played in high school for a little bit, and I volunteered. No. You played for the U.S. national team coaching soccer over there at the St. James. You got kids? A lot of us do, right? Try to find the time to work out. When can you? Well, you're at the top of the line health club. Kids can also play in the active entertainment center, climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, ropes course, a massive water park. Perfect place to host a birthday party, I might add, right? You can host your corporate event there. You can go to the restaurant, get yourself a massage. Everything under one roof. The place is unbelievable. And I mentioned that top of the line health club. Dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. Every new member, you get two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. With so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. TheSaintJames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's TheSaintJames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There was a funny moment last night. I was watching a Reds-Cubs end of that game. Ninth inning, Amir Garrett comes on to pitch to Kyle Schwarber. Lefty-lefty matchup. Amir Garrett is the former basketball player, collegiately two-sport guy who's like 6'7 and change, 265 pounds with the Reds. He was the one that
He fought the whole dugout.
Flying over to the Pirates dugout to swing on everybody. One of the biggest dudes in baseball. Nobody's going to mess with him. Well, Schwarber was furious because Garrett, after a huge strikeout, celebrated. He screamed. He did the primal yell. Scherzer does it. All the pitchers do it now. Marcus Stroman's over the top and probably takes it too far. I didn't think Garrett did. But look, if hitters are going to pimp home runs, Danny, if you're going to stand in the box and admire your work, or you're going to flip your bat, or you're going to toss the bat, and you know I'm first team, do whatever you want, as is Sean Doolittle, some other guys. It's okay when a closer or a reliever or a starter in a big spot gets a strikeout and screams and pumps his fists. Well, Amir Garrett did that, and of course, Kyle Schwarber, who's admired plenty of home runs, was very upset. His feelings were hurt. So he starts screaming at Amir Garrett, and you could kind of tell he was saying to him, like, get to your dugout and do that. Don't do that in front of me. Amir Garrett, like, looks at him and then starts sprinting to the dugout as fast as he can.
And then does a, don't yell at me.
Oh, please don't get upset at me, mister. I'm just trying to get to my dugout.
It was funny.
It was a really, really good scene.
It was good.
But it was kind of just putting you in your place for acting like a fool kind of thing.
Okay, man. Will do. I'll get in that dugout for you. You got to go to yours, though, because I struck your ass out.
Have you seen any of the available ticket pictures were being sent? The links that people are sending around online for Monday Night Football?
I've seen a lot of blue, and blue means available.
There will not be a full stadium. FedEx Field will not be all that electric.
It surprises me because I thought Bears fans, because people think Bears fans travel. Yeah, some are flying from Chicago.
Monday night's hard, though.
But it's
dude.
A big national fan base. I mean, Chicago, people, everybody's from in or around Chicago.
Sunday at 1, I can get a nighttime flight and be at work Monday morning. Monday night football?
That's tough.
I'm missing Monday, and I'm missing Tuesday. 2 days of work. That's hard to travel to a game on Monday night. Now, I think you'll have a lot of Bears fans because, like most markets, there are a lot of fans of the Bears that live here.
Yeah.
But you don't fill up a stadium with visiting crowds outside of your own division where there's a ton of Giants, Cowboys, Eagles fans. You don't fill up random teams that come every 4 years or whatever unless it's a travel situation, right? So it stands to reason it's going to be a fairly empty stadium. There will at least be more Redskins fans than Bears fans. You can't say that about week one against the Cowboys.
No, you can't.
So that's good. But Morgan Moses was asked about the crowd. Players are noticing this. It matters. It is very clear to them that people don't show up to games like they used to and that the energy in the stadium is often negative, not positive. I was joking during the game in the press box a couple times that the Redskins, you know, should think twice about calling a play or going for it or whatever they were doing. Because
on the road,
it's hard to do that. And they were playing essentially a road game at times, it felt like, at FedEx. But here's what Morgan Moses told the Junkies right here on The Fan on Monday after the game.
Obviously, you know, we would like to see more of our diehard fans there, and obviously, we don't have an idea of what's going on or how the tickets are, you know, how the ticketing and stuff is like that is. But we would love to have more fans. You know, obviously, I know they want us to win, and obviously, we want to win, but the crowd makes a difference, man. It makes a difference.
I get that players are annoyed and bristling, and while Moses didn't say that much, they are desperate to just get some type of a lift, and they want more butts in seats and more people energetic. I think it's a different conversation when we talk about Nats Park or a place where the product is really good. Let's say the Caps at Capital One Arena, where you know a team has a really good chance to win, where a team makes the playoffs more often than they don't, where the process is excellent, where other teams around the sport envy the way that it's done here in D.C. And then that group isn't supported the way that they should be. I'll pick my spots, and those are the times where I'll go, let's do a little better here. I don't think we should be doing a whole lot better for the Redskins.
And I understand everybody's perspective here. I have no problem with Morgan Moses saying that. I saw some people vilifying it. No way.
No. Morgan Moses is saying something very reasonable. If you're a player, it's not Morgan Moses' fault this team has stunk for 30 years, and it's not his fault that the stadium is a dud and that you can't get there via metro or that you're hopping over a creek so that you can get from your parking spot in a field through the woods to FedEx Field and you're showing up with wet socks and shoes. That's not Morgan Moses' problem.
No, he didn't make that.
There are a lot of issues, parking, traffic, that Morgan Moses has nothing to do with, that he doesn't care about. He just needs on third down, when the defense is on the field, someone to make a little bit of noise. He needs on first and goal from the three after a touchdown to feel like he didn't just score on the road. So I got no problem with what he's saying, but having gone to the game and parked in basically a fan parking lot this week where it took me 2.5 hours to get home and almost 1 hour to move out of my parking spot, having been at the game and seen Redskins fans legitimately surrounded by Cowboys fans, as if they went to a game in Dallas. I'm sure that was a fun experience for those fans this weekend. Having been there this weekend, Danny, and the example I used, having to kind of walk through these woods and like jump over a little stream and like get help from a guy to get up a little hill just to get to the stadium, I get it. Yeah. What is it all? Is the juice worth the squeeze? What is the point of this? What does it all end up being worth to you? Now, if they win on Monday Night Football against the Bears, maybe that's cool. Maybe that's fun. But more often than not, they're 500 at FedEx Field, essentially. More often than not, you go and you don't have fun.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about money. You're paying for a babysitter. You're paying for tickets. You're paying for beer that went up a few dollars.
It feels like you're reading a transcript of what I've said for a while.
And I don't think you're the only person that's been saying it for a while.
I haven't.
I think everyone in D.C. kind of knows the score here.
And that's it's so refreshing to me to hear it. The example I offered on a much smaller scale, I ordered a piece of sports equipment via a website, right? Supposed to be here on Monday. It's not. I've now had to do a customer service chat via the computer and another phone call and follow up, and I'm told it's not going to be there until next Wednesday. You know what's never happening again? Me ordering from that website. Not one time ever again. That's a small investment. This is a much bigger investment. I'm not going to invest in that. The last time I did it, it was so miserable, I'm never going back to that stadium. Ever. I don't care if you send me a limo. I don't care if you helicopter me in. I'm not going ever again. That's on a small scale. Then you've got the bigger one. I get fans not wanting to do this. I also get the players wishing it was different. Again, Morgan Moses made no personnel decisions. Morgan Moses didn't put Robert Griffin back in the game when his knee was exploded. He didn't mortgage the future or make bad draft picks or alienate the GM that they hired to be the savior or fire Brian LaFemina after 7 months of trying to change the culture around. He didn't do any of those things.
But this is a chicken or the egg thing, right?
Yeah.
The team has a hard time winning at home and turning the corner without any home atmosphere. And the home atmosphere is bad because of the team, and it isn't necessarily up to the fans to go anyway. So how do we fix this problem, and what gives? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. So, EB tweeted this a few minutes ago, and I've confirmed it, and give Eric credit, he got this nugget. More turnover coming to Redskins Park. Tony Wiley, who's been the senior vice president of communications there for 10 years, is leaving the Redskins to take a job with Special Olympics. I was just talking to somebody with the team, and they've known for a while that Tony Wiley is leaving, I guess. His last day is going to be in early October. He's there for a couple more weeks. But he's leaving the Redskins after a 10-year run, and he had a lot of hats and had a lot of roles. He's the head of public relations, but really he was hired, and part of his job was to improve Dan Snyder's
public image?
Yeah. I would say. And I think he did that to an extent. Whether correct or not, we all have a perception as of right now that Dan Snyder is not as involved as he once was. Tony Wiley's a big reason for that. And I give him credit as well because you haven't had nearly as many fiascos involving Snyder directly.
Mm.
You know, the Scott McLuhan hiring and firing thing. Really, Bruce Allen's become the bad guy since Tony Wiley showed
up. That's a good point.
In a lot
honestly.
Of ways. Dan Snyder, I don't want to say he's a sympathetic figure, but Dan Snyder has not as often been considered the evil, dark, bad guy with the cold heart that John Riggins once called out. You don't hear as much negativity and vitriol. You're not seeing old ladies get sued or the city paper involved in a lawsuit or threats against people like you once did. And that was kind of why Tony Wiley came here as an award-winning PR guy at one point in time with the Houston Texans. I don't know how much listeners care about this kind of thing, to be honest with you. I don't know how much people that are just Redskins fans care if a PR director or Brian LaFemina comes and goes on the marketing end. I will say, though, it's significant.
It
matters because this is one of the guys who has for years kind of decided that he was able to navigate the slings and the arrows, and it was worth it to him to be around. And I view this in a lot of ways. Yeah, maybe you got an excellent opportunity, but at some point, don't you just go, is this worth it to me?
That job churned people out.
Yes.
It was like 18 months, 2 years, a lot of turnover. Tony Wiley, to his credit, was a survivor over there. Think about all the tumultuous things that he went through. Imagine being in charge of PR during the Redskins name change, heightened attention, right? Where Redskins facts and you're going on the offensive and Dan Snyder shakes his finger and says, you can put it in all caps, never, ever, ever. Just inviting argument, just inviting all these different things. Imagine all the different bits of chaos, right? Where each week there's a leak from either the organization or from Mike Shanahan as that ship is sinking and crashing into the mountain. Imagine all of the different nonsensical, terrible things that have happened to the Washington Redskins by their own design and by their own doing. You mentioned the suing of the paper, the suing of the fans, all the things that have happened. And he continued in that role, surviving all these various catastrophes, managing these things well, knowing that at a point, any second, and right around the corner, you're going to be hit with, like, an intern's going to go, oh, Mr. Wiley, you're not going to believe what Bruce just did. And then you got to go right back in the lab. Very, very challenging role. He survived it. At times, because of an organizational axiom, very difficult to deal with at times.
Press secretary for the president, something like that.
Yeah.
Not an easy job.
That's not a longevity job.
You don't want that job. This is maybe like next on that list.
It's up there.
Public relations for a team that is maligned, that is the butt of jokes nationally, with a fan base that is being gutted, that can't seem to win. I mean, there's only so much you can do unless the team wins in that role.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, there's just so much drama and so much crap that you have to deal with. It's not a good job. It's not really a fun job. He did it for 10 years. And I've known him very well since I was on the beat for 4 years, from 10 to 13. I've worked with him day in and day out for years and years, and we've had our fair share of bouts. But I really respect him. He's a good dad. He's a pro, and he did a great job and with what he could. I mean, that is... You're grading on a curve. When you're the public relations director for the Redskins, you're fighting a losing battle until this team gets its out of its own way by winning some football games.
And so what I was going to say is at times very difficult to deal with, but I think that's an organizational thing, and he was acting on higher authority, a.k.a. you be obstructionist.
That's his job.
To every outlet all the time, because the Redskins are one of those things where if you tell the story of what happened, it makes them look bad. So they wanted the story not to be told. It's that kind of a deal. Instead of just saying, why don't we control some other stuff and try to have the story be positive through good action, they wanted the story to be positive without the achievement. And he was stuck in a bad spot for a long time.
One of those things worth passing along and giving you a couple thoughts on. Again, you guys care more about Redskins Bears, and I get that. But it means something, big picture, behind the scenes with what's going on in that organization.
A lot of turnover.
Brian LaFemina and the marketing group blown out less than a year in. 40 people, remember our report Chris Russell had here at the Fan? TheFanDC.com, there's a story you can find on 40 people since LaFemina's group left, decided they were going to leave the organization, didn't want to be a part of what was happening with the Redskins. And now you've got Wiley, who's leaving after a decade as their PR director. Let's go to Duke in Rockville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Duke?
Hey, Duke. Yeah, I just want to compare two franchises in the initial fan experience. So we went up to Gillette Stadium, and you park your car, you walk through Patriot Square, which has beautiful bars and restaurants and hotels. Okay, that's your experience with the Patriots. Last year, my sons and I went to the Skins game. We parked in the cheap lot, which is $50. You literally have to walk through the woods, ford a creek, walk up a grassy bank, and then go over a Jersey barrier to get to the game. Those are just two experiences.
You're in the gray lot?
Think, yes.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
The cheap one, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, the media parks in the gray lot, and normally where we park is an area where there's like a kind of a carved out path straight through these woods, and you do go through woods, but it kind of brings you right out to the road. Where I parked the other day, I had to kind of get directed down a bunch of ways, and basically where a lot of fans park, I think, I couldn't believe it, is what you're talking about. You walk down this hill, you have to go basically jump down into this ravine. Like, if you're, overweight or old or something, like, I don't know how people do this. I really don't.
Well, there are some stones which have been placed by the fans in the creek. And honest to God, I helped. There were an elderly couple probably in their late 70s, early 80s, which my sons and I had to literally help them down through the path, over the creek, and up that bank. If one of them were to slip and fall, that's a it's not to mention a fan experience. That's a liability issue for the Redskins.
Well, so here's the only thing I would say is I don't know if they could get in trouble because I don't think they direct people to do that. I think people have decided that that's the path they take to the game because it saves an extra mile of walking all the way around this huge lot.
Yeah, they don't care.
I don't think they'd be liable, but like literally coming back, Danny, I couldn't get up this little wet. It's like a slick, wet, very angled hill.
Yeah.
Without like you helped the person behind you, this stranger. I'm pulling this guy up who's in work gear who just was slinging beers all night. It was a show. But Shorts and I, you parked right behind me.
Yeah.
And we're walking together. And I jumped down and I found a little dry area and kind of landed in it and then hopped across. Mm. And right behind me, I just heard a lot of water. And Shorts was the guy who landed in that water.
Yeah, so I missed that little dry spot that you had conveniently found. And I found a nice big puddle of water. and then I realized that this is gross creek water. And my foot's going to smell like a creek for the rest of the day, probably forever. Because the shoe that I'm wearing is just probably ruined. I'm wearing it right now. Maybe we could do a smell test.
How would you...
Let's do a smell test on Shorts' shoe.
How would you describe? I mean, it sounds like a joke, but none of this is exaggerated.
No, it's all real.
It was like we went hiking to get to the game. We were climbing down a huge hill and hobbling on rocks in water.
You know how when you're a kid and your school takes a field trip to like a nature preserve?
Perfect.
That's what it felt like. Like we were just walking through the woods and it was a guided path.
Except you're ill-prepared for that.
There's no guide.
Right.
And you just had to figure out, well, this is where all the feet have gone before.
But I think it would take 10 minutes for them to lay like planks across the way.
Yeah.
Or build something. Look, it would take 10 minutes.
But this is unofficial, right? This isn't like an official
pathway. It's the shortcut.
Yeah, so it's the shortcut.
But again, I say again, they do not care. In the name of safety, years ago, they tried to prevent people from walking on the road because it was going to cost them parking revenue. So they guise it under safety, right? When they charge security fees in the name of safety, they don't care if your feet are wet.
No.
They've got your $50. There's no incentive to them to do something nice for fans.
And because that's not the, as you put it, the official way to get to the game, it's not their problem
right.
If you get hurt, which I'm sure people have, by the way.
Well, isn't it still their property or is it the Prince George's County's property?
I don't know how it works. I just think that if I had... thousands of fans walking through there, which they do, by the way.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, you know what? Why don't we just put something up and make this a little bit
roll
easier?
Roll by a construction site, beg for 7 2x4s, and
right.
get yourself a platform.
I do think it's a little absurd, by the way, that you're paying $50 to then walk through a nature preserve and maybe risk fracturing a limb.
It's part of the experience. It's the nature tour is part of the Great Lot experience.
Are you the one today that fractures the limb? I mean, that's part of the fun, I think.
Yeah.
But I heard the noise. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Shorts' day is done. And you just kept walking. At that point, you just decided, I'm just going to walk through the water. Like, you didn't try to stay dry.
There was nothing I could do at that point. I was ruined.
He just started. It was like he was kicking water around. I'm like, oh, that is. I could feel your wet socks.
Well, and then it's another mile walk uphill after that.
Right. Yeah.
You just kept going like Wyatt Earp and Tombstone, just facing down the enemies.
God,
I love
awful.
It.
Thank you, Shorts.
Yeah.
Andy Benoit on the Redskins and the Bears. At 1 o'clock at 12:18 today, the Nationals are up a game and a half in their quest for a wild card spot. Are you locked in right now? You find yourself invested, or are you still nervous and don't want to completely commit? We'll get into that on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Much appreciate you guys listening. Lay of the land ahead, 12 o'clock, Beltway Blitz. Teams in town you care the most about. 12:18, the Nats lost yesterday. So did the Cubs and the Brewers. They're still 1.5 games in the clear to host the wild card play-in game. But because the Brewers and the Cubs are currently tied, they're also just 1.5 games from being completely out of the playoffs. They got to start winning. They got to string some dubs together. A series in Miami against the Marlins could help them do that. That starts tomorrow. We'll get into the Nats at 12:18. And you know, your level of investment and basically how much you're allowing yourself to get all in on them when you don't even know if they're going to make it or if they can make any kind of a run. That's coming up next hour when we're giving away Nats tickets at 12:45 as well. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
We need more than a few minutes on this. We may have to make this a multi-part series, okay? From Vice.com. Videos are unidentified aerial phenomena. The U.S. Navy has officially acknowledged that UFOs are real and violate American airspace. No one cares about this. People are just going on throughout their day and they're debating the normal things that we're supposed to be debating. Those videos and things that you have seen, that I have seen, that the American public has seen, the Navy is no longer just saying, yeah, we don't know. They have used the phrase unidentified aerial phenomenon that are specifically violating U.S. airspace. It's not just somewhere else around the world. It's right off the coast of Norfolk. It's out west in San Diego, etc. And the craziest part about what happened and how it happened, and Dar, I'm going to tag you in here in a second. I've read this story four different times here on Vice. I can't figure out how exactly Tom DeLonge, formerly of Blink-182, is involved, but he is. He's got this crazy conspiracy theory organization. And somehow he got the Navy to admit this. So, Dar, tag, you're in.
He's now a UFO hunter.
Yeah.
Like, that is his life's work. It's no longer Blink-182. It's all about exposing the lies of the government and covering up UFOs. And he got the Navy to admit that UFOs exist.
So how did he do that? I saw that here, and again, he, like, there's all these... What I don't like about this article is they're like quoting these crazy conspiracy theorists. Like this dude, like, you know, the dude who's like, it'll blow you back 50 foot. It'll blow you back 50 foot. I was up in the rocket and I said, time to go. Like that crazy idiot. That is the kind of caliber of guy that's being quoted
in
these
things.
I love
your impression of that guy.
And I don't like that. I want like, but the fact that the Navy is saying, they're not saying no comment, shut up, we're not doing this. They're like, yeah, we don't know what the hell this is. And it's real.
There's a newsletter I signed Tom up for.
Go on.
On purpose. All about conspiracy theories. They were onto this a long time ago.
They knew
Tom DeLonge had the goods.
So the Navy is using the term unidentified aerial phenomena. Shows that they have broadened what is expected to be reported by U.S. fighter pilots to investigate anything unknown in their airspace that in the past has been connected with a stigma. If these investigations are due to an interest in finding the cause of the UFO phenomenon in a ufology sense or due to reducing flight hazards or to counter unidentified intrusions by known adversaries and readiness for technological surprise remains to be seen. AKA, we don't know what this is. We don't know if it's hostile. We don't know what the point is. We do need to know if this poses a threat because that's what the armed forces is supposed to do, right? They're sitting there going, if you're not a threat, no problem. You're violating our airspace, though. And if you guys are going to do something, we need to know how to counter it. And they don't. No one knows squat. And everybody is just sort of moving along. There's video of aliens in ships. Yeah, you don't see the aliens. You see the ship. These fighter pilots are going, I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is? No, I don't know what that is. And the Navy's going, yeah, we don't know what that is. It's not a training exercise, weather balloon, nothing to see here. Something to see here is now what the Navy is saying.
Remember over Memorial Day when the New York Times broke this story and everyone just continued on with their life?
They just kept going to work and just kept doing stuff. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know how you act differently.
What do you want?
I don't know what I want.
We want everyone
panic.
To just...
Information.
I want more people to care about this. I don't know to what end. Like, I need more of this and less Tommy
but,
Lee
but
is with the girl.
I could say that about a lot of things. I mean, like, people don't care about anything that they should. Like, climate change. Nobody cares about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all kinds of things we could play that game about.
Fair enough.
That
fair
is
enough.
Way more tangible and matters way more. How about texting while driving? It kill anyone at any moment.
Yes.
People do that every second of every day.
We get signs on that, and we get PSAs. I get climate change at debates. They have a summit on CNN. There's no summit for mine. I want someone to care. I don't know what I want exactly. I don't have a to-do list. I don't have a shopping list. I can't go to the grocery store, like supermarket
people
sweep, and
smoke,
put a bunch of salamis.
No one's going to kill them.
People are concerned about that. They're heads all the time.
I'm not saying no one's concerned. I'm just saying, like, people are just kind of doing what they do. I eat so terribly. That's going to kill
me. I ate so terribly just now.
Yeah, it's going to kill us. We do it.
We care about
we
it,
know.
Though.
I just don't, I guess I don't know what you want.
I don't know what I want either, so I can't argue against you. My point is, right now, it's Vice, a New York Times article that got 1/1000th of the clicks that some stupid story about a nameless Kardashian sister doing nothing and being a billionaire. And then, like, this is a trillion steps below that. I want that reversed. I want someone, I want more people to find things out and share the information with the public. I want less crap that doesn't matter, more crap that does. I want this in the matters category.
Danny,
yes?
I got a solution for you.
Give it to me.
I'm going to sign you up for this newsletter with Tom.
I'm good on that. I'm okay there.
You don't want that newsletter.
I don't need that conspiracy newsletter.
I just want you to know it's out there and they've got the information.
Well, I'm going to sign you up for Lyndon LaRouche's presidential campaign to make phone calls. So I'll tag you back in. I did that to a buddy in college. He was so pissed.
No way.
I was like, I stopped. I did two things. I filled out a credit card for him, which was probably illegal. And then the second thing I did was I signed him up to be a campaign volunteer to knock on doors for Lyndon LaRouche.
He probably didn't end up doing it.
He didn't, but it didn't stop them from calling him and wondering where he was.
Hey, where are you?
You're not showing up for work.
You're supposed to be here right now. We were told you were going to show up at 8 a.m. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our Beltway Blitz is next.
Danny Roulier here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. So as long as we've got a planet, as long as our airspace isn't overcome with whatever the heck these things are, drive a car that you love at a price that you love even more. Who could provide that? Ted Britt Ford can. That's the dealio. Here's what's going down. They've been doing this in 60 years. They've been doing this pretty much, I think it was like 7 or 8 years before Roswell, New Mexico, Dar. The Ted Britt Ford got themselves together and said, let's get ourselves a dealership that's better than everybody else in the D.C. area. And they've done that. For 60 years, they've been taking care of folks just like you and me. I've got three different cars from Ted Britt Ford over the years. Three different times I went. I love the experience each time. When it's time for car number four, guess where I'm going to go? You guessed it, Ted Britt Ford. 120% Kelley Blue Book value. That's all the time. Then you get confidence for life when you buy from Ted Britt Ford. That is Ted Britt for life. Powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill. And this is one of the coolest things. Complimentary Virginia State inspection for life. You knock out all the items on the honey-do list in one spot, right? Drink a little coffee, get your inspection done, and you're on your way. Go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford and let them take care of you. They'll take care of you. When you go to Fairfax, see my guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.